Good morning, family. How are you? We good? So good to worship God. Love worshiping God. Just feel everything lift, you know. We don't do it for ourselves, but God is so gracious that when we do, He just takes stuff away from us this morning. Today I want to talk to you a bit more about the kingdoms in conflict. If you could throw the next slide, thanks, Julian. I want to talk to you today about atmospheres. Now, when we think of the word atmosphere, the first thing we kind of think of, I guess, is that thing that they send rockets through. Rory Boy's here. I know he's allowed here as a service dog, so that's fine. So we think of this thing with the firmament and, you know, where Elon Musk and Richard Branson are trying to take us for holidays. No, thank you. No, thank you. I like my feet on the ground or on a cruise ship. That's it. But when we think of the word atmosphere, that's the first thing that comes to mind. But if you look in the dictionary says it's a general pervasive, thanks Julian, a general pervasive feeling or mood. That's another way of describing atmosphere. And in fact, if you look at a thesaurus, you will find many synonyms. But the two that I thought was quite interesting was influence and impact. Isn't that funny that we've got Influence Church and Impact Church just next door? Very interesting, I thought, when I found that out. Influence and impact. It doesn't say grow, but we've got other things we can talk about for grow, doesn't it? So there we go. But I don't know about you, but have you ever entered a house where just before you came in, there was some kind of strife that you didn't know about, but you walk in and you can sense there's something wrong? There's an atmosphere that pervades that place. I recall when I was playing in bands in the late 70s and 80s, I can recall us doing a lot of gigs in the country because that's where all the money is for gigs, I guess. And I remember once going to the Riverland to do a gig, and the five of us piled into one car. One of the guys was like Luke. He was a bit of a rep, and he had a really nice car. The rest of us didn't have decent cars. Eh? Well, it wasn't as good as you. That's what I meant. All right? And he had this really good car, so we would go with him. The five of us would pile into his car, and the roadies would come with the truck behind. And we were, 6 hours later usually, because, but anyway. And I can recall this one time we went through this little country town, because we used to go the back way because there was less traffic in those days. The road wasn't as good as it is now. And we were thirsty, so we decided we'd stop at the first place we could to get a drink. And we come into this little town, and it's one of those towns where there's an old tennis court which clearly hasn't been used for a long time, four houses that could be derelict or could not be derelict, you're not sure, and a pub. So we think, we'll get some beers. We'll go in and get a six-pack and drink beer in the car. It was a hot day. It was summer. Never used to like driving to the Riverland in summer. And then God sent me there to live. But anyway. And we called in this. I won't tell you what the town was because I don't want to embarrass Wanby. But we pulled up at the front of this, pulled out in front of this pub. And there were three utes and a truck. And we all go in. Now, of course, long teased out hair, dressed kind of like rock stars because we hadn't got our stage clothes on yet, you know. And we opened the door to the pub and you're, and then every head turns, all six of them. And you could cut the air with a knife. It was like, we do not belong here. So the four of us went back to the car and the one guy got the beer. But you could feel the atmosphere as soon as you walked in. It was just tangible. And I want to just talk today about atmospheres. I want to tell you a story from Scripture about an atmosphere that was changed. Thanks, Julian. From Mark chapter 5, we're reading from 25 to 26. It says, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Can you imagine that? She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, and yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. I don't know about you, but I would have kind of this atmosphere of hopelessness on me after all of that. Many doctors, lots of money, years and years getting worse and worse. And so she had this atmosphere of hopelessness. I've just got no hope. There's everything I've tried. Reading on, it says this. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." We see this woman that on her life is an atmosphere of hopelessness, and yet she changes the atmosphere to an atmosphere of faith that drew God's power and drew God's favor. You can change atmospheres just with faith. Now, others were touching. We clearly hear that from the disciples. They're going, hang on, I'm sure people were touching Jesus and trying to get near to him and bumping into him and all, but this woman came with an attitude of faith. You see, they all needed the Savior's touch, but they didn't appropriate it, because they didn't come with that atmosphere and create that atmosphere of faith and God's favor and power. Only when the right atmosphere was created did virtue come out of Jesus. He felt the power come. Now, I don't know what that feels like, but that sounds awesome. Like, I get goosebumps thinking, we felt the power. Ooh, lovely stuff. But I want to look a bit deeper at creating atmospheres. There's another story in Numbers 13 where God tells Moses to send 12 spies into the land to explore the land of Canaan, and while they're there, to have a look and see what's there. And it says, they came back to Moses and Aaron, these 12, and the whole Israelite community. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey, and here is its fruit. But," remember what I said about Christians? They got big buts. "But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large." Then Caleb, one of the 12, there was Caleb and Joshua, the only two that stood up to these guys. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we died in Egypt or in this desert." Wow. We can create an atmosphere of anticipation, of excitement, and of faith. The alternative is you will create an atmosphere of but, can't, and won't. It's up to you to create that atmosphere. 10 men created an atmosphere that affected thousands and thousands and thousands of people. 10 men. That's the influence that they had. We are actually called to create an atmosphere that reflects the kingdom of God, that reflects heaven on earth. We develop a cultural atmosphere around us, or we are influenced by a cultural atmosphere around us. Who knows, because we're all human, who knows that when you're with different people who aren't Christians, there's a different atmosphere and you sometimes get caught up in it. Come on, let's be honest. It happens, doesn't it? You get caught up in this other atmosphere and you begin to become like their cultural atmosphere instead of creating the cultural atmosphere around yourself, even if it doesn't change them. Lives are shaped by the atmospheres that you and I create. An atmosphere will affect your mind, it will affect your emotions, it'll affect your body, and it will affect your spirit. We see that in the story of the woman with the issue of blood, and we see that with the spies and the people of Israel. And it's not about being on top of things all the time. I'm not saying that we just go and pretend everything's great, because it's not. Sometimes it's not hunky-dory. You know, we can't just pretend everything's great, but it's not about being on top of things all the time. It's about how we respond and then how quickly we get it back together. We need to shorten that space of time from the time where we go, and we make the change. Look what happened to David. David got harassed pretty badly. In Psalm 56, verse 2, it says, "My slanderers pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride." But then immediately, there's no pause here, immediately he says this, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" God doesn't mind you saying, this sucks. But he wants you then to move on and say, but I trust you. That's being real. That's being honest. This sucks, but I trust you. And we know that in the end, David was totally vindicated. It says that he did not raise his hand against the Lord's anointed. There are spiritual atmospheres in our world. Some are created in darkness and some are created in light. I recall when we went to India, we were ministering in India over a period of about 12 years, and some of the people in this room have come on those trips. I think it was the trip Dan was at, and I think Luke and Siobhan were there too, where we went to the top of this mountain, and there was a temple there to the goddess Kali. Do you remember, were you guys there? The goddess Kali. Now, if you don't know the goddess Kali, now Hindu's full of millions of gods. If you don't like the one that you've picked, you can pick another one. And it sounds silly, but there's a spiritual atmosphere in India. You can cut it like a knife. You can feel it. And this god, the goddess Kali, her role is one of all kinds of different things. But they sacrifice children to Kali. And you go, oh, not anymore. Yes, they do. They still sacrifice children to this goddess Kali. And I don't know about you, but on that mountain, guys, I was quite scared. First time in my life I've ever been frightened in a spiritual atmosphere. We've had Hindus chase us down the street, then Hindus attack us, but I felt very scared near this temple. It was a dark, dark place. Yeah, we had two little kids with us too, so we were really careful, you know. But that's before the days of child safe too. We did good. But then we've been to China for the last 8 or 9 years. And China's totally different because the government has banned religion. The only thing that you're allowed to follow is the Communist Party's manifesto. And it feels like a spiritual vacuum, like there's nothing there. Now, I know it's dark because it's not of God, but there's this. It feels different to India. It's the spiritual vacuum you're walking into, this, and it's kind of nothing. And any time you try to speak spiritual things, people don't get it. It's really hard to reach them and to minister to them. And so there are spiritual places of darkness and spiritual places of light in our world. But I want to bring it down. I want to focus it down. What kind of atmosphere is there in your home? What kind of atmosphere is there in our church? Because we need to be careful the kind of atmosphere we create around ourselves. For example, do you come on a Sunday expecting the atmosphere to be created for you? And if it isn't, what do? I've heard people say, didn't really feel anything at church today. I don't know, it wasn't right today. I don't know, I just didn't feel right today, church. I didn't get anything out of the sermon. And many people then get a bit upset and a bit iffy, and then they start getting mumbly, and not any of you guys do, because like Chris said, you're the best weird bunch we've ever known. But do you come on a Sunday expecting that it's all done for you, that the band has got itself prepared and you know all the people have got their jobs and the people, yeah, the band's never prepared. We had the worst sound check this morning. But praise God that it's not about us, it's about Him. It's His harmony of His Holy Spirit that brings the spirit of worship into the place. But do you come with a decision, though, to create an atmosphere of worship and faith around you? Doesn't Scripture say to enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart and to enter His courts with praise? Not to get it, you bring it. You take it here. You come into this place going, I'm just going to leave today, yesterday, and this last rotten week outside, and I'm going to come in with thanksgiving and I'm going to come in with praise on my lips. Because if you're waiting for it to be created for you, you might be disappointed. Because I would suggest to you that's the wrong attitude when you come in anyway. And God has to deal with that attitude. We can create a spiritual atmosphere around us individually, as a family, corporately, in all of those. I hate the word corporately, but you know what I'm talking about, as a church. In Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, it says this. Jesus went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Where does this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that's been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? You can hear it, can't you? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house as a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. They created a spiritual atmosphere that hindered the power of God. Now it says he healed a few sick people. I wonder if these were like that woman and they came with faith. They had the opposite spirit, you see. They brought their own atmosphere. But the others, like the people in the land of Canaan, brought the wrong atmosphere. Now that word offense in the Greek is scandalizo. It means to fall away, to go astray, to cause to fall into sin. They weren't just offended, they were turning away. They were falling into sin by their atmosphere and their attitude. And the word could in this, he could not do any miracles there. That word could is the word, it's actually dynamai, which comes from the root word dunamis, which means power. It's where we get the word dynamite from. And so it says there, he could not do any miracles. He could not dynamite. He could not dunamis. There was no power there because of the atmosphere that these people in his home village had created for him. A right attitude makes all the difference. You're responsible for the atmosphere that you create. You are responsible for the atmosphere that you allow to influence you. I spoke 2 weeks ago about keep in step with the Spirit. How do you do that? You walk in kingdom resource. What's kingdom resource? The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the armor of God, all those things. The power of the Spirit. Every believer has the responsibility to personally live in that realm because there are kingdoms in conflict. I keep saying it, but there is. And our role is not to allow them to influence us, but for us to influence them at the grassroots level and in the principalities, against the principalities and powers. In 2 Corinthians, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. If you don't feel the freedom of God, think about the atmosphere you create for yourself. I'm not talking about, you know, pretending everything's right when it's not. I'm talking about how David did. God, it sucks what's happening to me, but I trust you. An atmosphere of faith. This woman, just, I can't imagine how she felt. It was almost like Jesus was her last hope. You know, sometimes we need to make Jesus our first hope, not the last thing that we go for. We've got the potential to usher in the presence of heaven. I had some more scriptures I want to show you, but it's too much and I don't want to go on too long. But in Genesis 28, we know the story of Jacob's ladder. There was a stairway to heaven, if you like, and there were angels up and down, bringing God's messages. If we could go to the scripture where it starts with when Jacob awoke from his sleep, Julian, that's thanks. I think there's three of them or four of them before then. This is what happens. He met the Lord and he met all these angels coming and going. And he says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he'd placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. And you and I both know that names mean something to God. Words mean something to God. And I looked up the meaning of these two names, and Annette's getting excited now, aren't you, Annette? The word Bethel means house of God. Surely this is the house of God, so he named it Bethel. Do you know what Luz means? It means twisted or to be turned aside. Interesting, isn't it? That there was a place where people were turned aside from right, from God, and God turned it around because of the atmosphere created with Jacob to become the house of God. Look at these scriptures. They're not on the screen, so I'll read them to you. I've removed from my house the sacred portion, have given it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you've commanded. I've not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. Luz means turning aside, going away from God's ways. When I looked, I saw that you had sinned against the Lord your God. You'd made for yourselves an idol, cast in the shape of a calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way the Lord has commanded you. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain. Jeremiah 5:23 says, "These people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away." The atmosphere changed in Luz. It was no longer a place of turning aside. It was a place of the house of God. Surely this is the gate of heaven. Who knows that this is the house of God? This should be the gate of heaven. The atmosphere created in this place and the atmosphere that you create around you on a Sunday morning, you need to carry into your sphere of influence. Don't let the culture change you. You change the culture. And if the culture doesn't want to change, don't be influenced by what that's going on around you. You keep that space of God's goodness and the house of God, the Bethel spirit, the Bethel atmosphere around you. Symbolically, the atmosphere of that place changed from a place that represented rebellion and godlessness to a place that became a place where God was active. And we need to create a place where unity and harmony and obedience all dominate. Jesus taught us how to pray. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Whose responsibility is to create that atmosphere? It's ours. It's ours. We can carry that atmosphere of faith, that atmosphere of unity, that atmosphere of harmony, that atmosphere of love, the atmosphere of God's power. Many of you set aside your personal ambitions and your agendas for the sake of the purposes of God. I salute you. I honor you for doing that. Because remember this, our destinies are all linked. No one's here to create the atmosphere around you. You're here to create the atmosphere around you. And guess what? It all begins to create something really magical. Is magical okay to say in the house of God? You know what I mean. When we build and maintain spiritual harmony and destiny, God is free to operate fully in our midst. I don't know why we're not seeing the same number of miracles we were seeing a few years ago, but we're still seeing miracles. God's good. He's still in our midst doing the small things and the big things. I don't know, but I wonder why, and I sometimes think, are each of us creating the right atmosphere? The atmosphere like the woman with the issue of blood that says, I'm not hopeless. I have faith in him. If I just touch him, my problems will be gone. I'll be healed. I'll be made well. The stuff will be gone. There's a number of atmospheres we need to cultivate in our lives, in our homes, in our church, and our sphere of influence. And I began to write down some of those things I think that we need to create around us. And I'm going to lay that aside because that's for another message now. And God spoke to me this morning because you guys know me. I don't preach to the calendar. Easter I'll preach to and Christmas, but the rest of it, I don't preach to a calendar. Even if it's Pentecost, I won't necessarily preach about Pentecost. I preach what I think the Lord is showing me. I hope sometimes I get it right. And I was not going to preach to Father's Day, if that makes sense. But as I was going through the message this morning and just seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, just take my words, make them make a difference, because not because they're my words, because they're yours. He said, speak to the fathers this morning. Remind them of the atmosphere that they need to create in their homes. Some of you might go, oh yeah, but it's not my responsibility. It's, you know, we're one flesh, my wife and I. No, you're the spiritual head. And if anyone gets a bit, get their knickers and not about headship, we can talk about that. It's not what it really means. In fact, you know, men are told that they're to love their wives like Christ loved the church, and that's very sacrificially, isn't it? Really sacrificially. That's a big ask, isn't it, really, when you think about it? But I felt God say to me, tell the fathers, what atmosphere are you creating in your home? Not to bring guilt, not to bring shame, but to bring change. Just as that woman's circumstances change, God wants you to change the circumstances in your home. As a father, do you reflect the kingdom in your house? Do you usher in the fruit of the Spirit? I'm going to take a couple extra minutes, is that all right? Do you usher in love? Do you create an atmosphere of love? I'm not just talking about, oh yeah, my wife knows I love her. I'm talking about creating an atmosphere that lets her know. Because you can say words. What about joy? Second fruit of the Spirit. I'm not talking about walking around with a silly grin on your face all the time and you feel like crap. I'm talking about joy that goes, though he slay me, yet will I still praise him. Yet will I still hope in him. That kind of joy that exudes from you so that when you come home, the dog does run to you, not away from you. Peace. Do you bring peace into your home? Oh, yeah, but you don't know what my wife says and what she does. I don't care what your wife says or does. You have a responsibility to create peace in your home and harmony. Patience, that's one I've struggled with all of my life. I hope I get it right before I go. Patience. I'm actually a lot slower than I used to be, but I don't think that's because of patience. I think I'm just getting slow. Kindness. Goodness. Gentleness. Don't be harsh with your wives, men, or your kids. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Men, don't sit there and go, oh boy, have I got it wrong. You need to say, oh boy, I can get it right. God wants you to create the atmosphere like that in your family. He wants you to lead the way. That's what fathers are supposed to do. To love unconditionally. To be there. To create the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Shall we pray? I don't think we'll have a final song. It's Father's Day. Many of you I know need to go. We've got family coming, so I know they're already here. So maybe they can help me put my guitars away. That would be good. But we're going to pray, aren't we? Fathers in this room today, wives, please don't go home and say, see? See what Pastor Mike said? I don't want any of that. Fathers, I want you to go home full of a desire this morning in your heart to say, I'm going to make some changes. Because I guarantee there's not a perfect home in this room. I guarantee there's not a perfect relationship in this room. Chris and I come close, because I do what I'm told. But fathers, let's get serious for a minute. Read up on the fruit of the Spirit this week and see what it says. When you look at it, say, God, show me, where is it that I'm missing? What is it that I'm not doing enough of to create this atmosphere of the Bethel house of God around my family? What is it, Lord, that I'm not doing that I should be doing? What is it I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. And you know what? If you can't talk to God that way, then you need to think about your relationship with Him. And if you want your wife to help you, ask her. And again, wives, don't say, yeah, I know, you've been useless, you've been hopeless. Wives, I want you to say, yeah, I know, but I love you and let's work on this together. Let's make it work. Facilitate each other in the areas that God wants you to be transformed. So Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit in this room in this moment. And we pray, Lord, that each of us could take a few steps to become the men and women we're called to be and create an atmosphere around us in our homes, in our spheres of influence, in our workplaces, and in our church that glorifies God and brings thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.